36.4% from the field, 29.2% from three, 64% from the free throw line, 6.1 points per game. Those are Terrence Ross playoff numbers. This is 416 Basketball, and this is a podcast. So, the Toronto Raptors are playing the Orlando Magic in the first round of the playoffs. They were certainly my preference over the Brooklyn Nets or the Detroit Pistons. I guess I kind of wanted to avoid Brooklyn the most. I just think that they're so well coached and just play for 48 minutes. Like we even saw last year, the Nets, they stayed competitive like late and battled in games, even though they weren't winning games, that they were still battling until the final horn. So much respect to Kenny Atkinson. Happy we're not facing them. But I still think we would have beaten them, but I'm still happy we're not facing the Nets. As for the Pistons, it looks like Blake Griffin is not healthy. But I think the Orlando Magic are just easier. Because I look at the Magic and I don't see any closer on their team. I just don't see one. Like, Nikola Vucevic, all-star. But is he going to be the guy that you can just put the ball in his hands down the stretch and he can just put a team on his back? I don't know. And I look at the clutch stats for the Orlando Magic, and they aren't that impressive to me. So starting with Vucevic in the clutch, he is just 1 of 16 from 3. So this is the last 5 minutes of games of a 5-point game. And he's just 1 of 16 from 3 and just 37.8% from the field, under 70% from the free throw line. Is plus 4, but the fact that he's not making shots just tells me that it's like he's not the guy that should be having the ball in his hands if the game is on the line. We can look at other players. Nobody on this team shoots well in the clutch. Like Evan Fournier, he is 7 of 31 from 3 in the clutch. That's 22.6%. You know, 43.9% from the field. That's not horrible, but like not great. And then everybody's favorite player, Terrence Ross, he's only 10 of 33, which is 30.3% from 3, and he is 21 of 53 from the field overall, and that's under 40%. So, like, Terrence Ross isn't hitting shots, and, like, everyone's saying how he's shooting better, playing better this season. But when the game is on the line, he ain't doing it. He ain't doing it. DJ Augustine ain't doing it either. He's 31.3% from three in those clutch situations. And the guys that are, you know, shooting 33.3% are the guys that just haven't taken like any shots. Like Jonathan Isaac, 1 of 3 in the clutch from three. That puts him at 33.3%. Aaron Gordon, just 3 of 9. That puts him at 33.3%. Like, those are their top guys, and it's because they just aren't taking shots. The guys that are taking shots aren't making them. And speaking about Jonathan Isaac, I think a lot of people are worried about what he's going to do to Pascal Siakam. And he has played him really well this season, but I don't think Isaac is going to either play or successfully play well in the clutch, because he is their worst clutch player per plus minus. He is minus 41 in the clutch, Jonathan Isaac. A lot of people have told me small sample size. Yeah, he's only played 65 minutes, but it's 32 games. And the Magic have only played, I believe, 46 games have come in the clutch, where the last 5 minutes the score was plus or minus 5. So he has played in a significant number of them. And his totals, Isaac, in the clutch is 1 steal and 1 block. Those are totals. That's not per game. Those are totals. That's typically what he does over a game. But, like, He just doesn't play defense when the game is on the line, and that's what he does. Like, Jonathan Isaac, he's not a great offensive player. His value comes from his defense, and it comes from doing what he's done to guys like Pascal Siakam. And if he's not going to be able to do that when the game's on the line, like, he's useless. He's not going to be playing. So I'm not too concerned about that, because I don't see a scenario where the Orlando Magic are blowing out the Raptors and there's no clutch play involved, right? Like, do you see a scenario where the Magic are up like 20 points on us? And I don't. Like, I think if the Magic are going to beat us, I think it's going to be a competitive game. It's going to come down to the wire. And these clutch stats matter. Speaking of clutch stats and poor performers, I think we should talk about the Raptors. And a guy who has just sucked in the clutch for us is Marc Gasol. And this is where I will agree it is a small sample size, because he has only played 8 games in the clutch for a total of 40 minutes. The minutes is significant, but games is only 8. And in the clutch for the Toronto Raptors, Marc Gasol is just 1 of 8 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3. He has hit two of two free throws, but he's a minus 8, and he does have 1 block, no steals, 0 turnovers, 4 assists, 8 rebounds. Yeah, so the lack of shooting and lack of involvement defensively from Marc Gasol in the clutch could be a thing. I think especially against the Magic, defensively, there's some things there, because I think the one way really the Raptors might struggle defensively is guarding Vucevic if he's stretching out. And I don't think either Marc Gasol or Serge Ibaka will have success, you know, guarding him if he's playing on the perimeter or shooting like deep twos or something. Gasol and Ibaka don't have the mobility anymore. Like, and I'm not saying like Valanciunas would be better, because I don't think he would be. I just think it's a thing where none of these centers can really guard Vucevic in that manner. I think if Vucevic is playing inside, I think everything should be fine. But if he's stretching us out, I think it's a real issue, because we have seen like Kevin Love kill us over the years. I remember he's killed Serge Ibaka just dribble driving on him in the playoffs multiple seasons. So that's definitely a thing. I think there's a scenario definitely where Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka get played off the floor. I think that's a real possibility. And I think in those scenarios where you need more mobility, I think the Raptors can go small. I think Pascal Siakam can have success probably guarding Nikola Vucevic if he's stretching out on us. I think even Kawhi Leonard, I think he could have success playing defense on Vucevic. But I don't think the Raptors will initially go to that. I think Nick Nurse is just going to stay status quo and try with Marc Gasol as plan A, and then off the bench Serge Ibaka. But I think if those guys don't work guarding Vucevic, I think you got to make the switch and go small ball, super mobility on defense. As for other guys in the clutch on the Raptors, Danny Green leads the way at plus 44 in the clutch. He is 11 for 31 from 3. That's 35.5%. 37.5% overall from the field. Doesn't take many twos in the clutch, so the three-point number are kind of weighing him down a bit there. He is 7 of 9 in the free throw line in the clutch as well. 0 turnovers in the clutch this season for Danny Green, so you can trust him with the ball, that he's going to get up a shot, that he's not going to burn you with a turnover. So that's good. He's got 4 steals and 6 assists, 3 blocks as well, with 17 rebounds. Next up, we got Kawhi Leonard, who is plus 41 in the clutch. And in that period, he is shooting 48.1% from the field, but just 31% from 3. That's 9 of 29. And part of that really could be, I'm thinking now, especially like post All-Star, could be impactful by Gasol maybe not playing well in the clutch. That could possibly be affecting things for other guys, because we know he's raised 3-point percentage across the board since the trade, but who knows for sure. But Kawhi Leonard in the clutch from the free throw line, he is taking a nice number, 37 of 44. That comes out to 84.1%. He's got 28 rebounds, 13 assists, 10 turnovers, 5 steals, 3 blocks. And next we got Kyle Lowry's plus 40 in the clutch. He has not shot well. Not well at all. Just 30.2% from the field, 25.8% from 3. That's 8 of 31 from 3. But he is 11 of 12 from the free throw line. So that's something. He's got 28 assists, 5 turnovers, 5 steals, 2 blocks. The shooting there from Kyle in the clutch kind of concerns me. Kind of concerns me a little bit. I'm not concerned with how it'll play overall in the playoffs, but if the game is on the line, I want the ball in Kawhi Leonard's hands. It's just that simple. Serge Ibaka in the clutch is also a plus 40. Interesting. He's shooting 51.4% from the field, but only 1 of 7 from 3. He has not shot well from 3 this season at all, so I don't really think he's going to get those opportunities to shoot from 3, especially when the game's on the line, so I'm not concerned there. 9 of 13 from the free throw line, which isn't great, but that's a small sample size. He's got 22 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 turnovers, 1 steal, 4 blocks. Next up, Pascal Siakam is plus 30 in the clutch. And Siakam, you know, he's done pretty well. He's shooting 60.7% from the field, 3 of 4 from 3. Not a lot of opportunities there, but we have noticed that he's making a lot more threes this season. So even if he doesn't get those looks in the clutch, he can deliver open from the corners, I think, no problem. I really don't think that Isaac is going to stop him, especially hitting jumpers. I think inside maybe Isaac can give him a little bit of issues, but I think that that's probably something that's going to get overblown from a lot of Raptors fans, is Jonathan Isaac's defense. Isaac is a good defender, but I'd still bet on Pascal Siakam, who has been 18 of 20 from the free throw line in the clutch, so that's great. That's 90%. 33 rebounds, 6 assists, 9 turnovers, 4 steals, 6 blocks. Who is next? This one is a little bit surprising to me. Is OG Anunoby, who has had like an up and down season, but he's plus 18 in the clutch. He hasn't really done much in terms of stats. Like, total, he's played a total of 34 minutes in the clutch over 14 games, just 6 points. But I don't know, I guess he's just played with good lineups and stuff. And the Raptors are just good. I think that's the thing, that A lot of our guys are going to be plus in the clutch because the Raptors are just good. That's just how it is. Defensively, OG just has 1 block, 0 steals, 2 turnovers. In the clutch, 6 rebounds, 1 assist. Yeah, not much there. I think I'm just going to do one more here. And Fred VanVleet, plus 17 in the clutch. He has not been great. So he has played more than OG in the clutch. He has played 10 more games in the clutch and more than twice the amount of minutes. He's at 77 minutes in the clutch. And Fred is shooting 40% from the field, but just 4 of 14 from 3, 2 of 2 from the line, just 3 assists, 2 turnovers, 1 steal, 3 blocks. With Fred, I think the playoffs are going to be a true test for him. Last year, I give him a pass because he came in injured. But he did miss those 2 key shots, game 1 against the Cavs. He missed in game 1 in regulation to win. missed that jumper. He missed in overtime, the game winner as well. So I give him a pass for that. He clearly wasn't healthy, barely played in the Wizards series, didn't look right. I don't think he was right for that game one against the Cavs. I probably wasn't even right any of that Cavs series. But he's been solid, I think, this season. He's had injuries again. Should be healthy now. We'll see. We'll see if he comes through in the playoffs this time around. So I started to talk matchups with Vucevic and the possibility of going small if he is shooting jumpers. I kind of had in my head what I thought the Raptors rotation would be heading into these playoffs, and you know, it was starters and then it was four guys who I just think should be playing. But now I'm starting to rethink it. I think the guys I'm still going with in the rotation, aside from starters, is Serge Ibaka, Fred VanVleet, and Norman Powell. I'm starting to think that we might not really need OG Anunoby against the Orlando Magic. They don't have reliable shooting when the game is on the line. So OG's defense, I feel like, kind of wasted because he's not really the scorer on offense. And I think how the Raptors would lose to the Magic in a game would be not like failing to put up buckets when it mattered or something. And I feel like OG's not going to help us in that aspect. So I personally don't know if I would play OG in this series. I don't think I would if we don't have to. Just because I think just getting buckets, I think that's going to be the priority for the Raptors. And I do think, though, looking ahead to a team like Philly, I think OG would be very useful against them because they can throw out a lot of talent where you need multiple defenders. And I think OG could be very useful against them. But against the Magic, even Kawhi's defense, I feel it's like it's going to be wasted in this series. Who are we putting Kawhi Leonard on? Who are we shutting down on the Orlando Magic that is super scary? I don't see it. Like, are we putting him on Aaron Gordon just like because size-wise that works? Like, I guess. I don't know. Like when Terrence Ross checks into the game, are we going to put Kawhi on him? Like, I'd love to see Terrence Ross just get shut the fuck down. I'd love to see that, but like, it just feels like a waste of Kawhi Leonard's defensive talents. Like, you could put him on Evan Fournier, but like again, like, I don't know. It's a waste. So it's a real waste. So defensively, yeah, I'm not worried. And I think like a guy like Patrick McCaw, he really has no chance, I'd say, of playing in this series, in my opinion at least, because he brings like absolutely zero offense, even though his defense kind of can show up. I want that offense. I want that scoring. I want reliability in buckets. And I'd honestly consider playing Jeremy Lin in this series. I ultimately don't think the Raptors should do it because he's played so poorly, but he can get buckets for himself, even though he cannot hit jumpers. He can still drive in and get some buckets, create a little bit for others. But I'm leaning towards offense because I think that's what the Raptors need in this series. As for other matchups, I'm assuming the Raptors are going to put Kyle Lowry on DJ Augustine. I don't know if I'd do that. I'd consider putting Kyle Lowry on Evan Fournier because I feel like Evan Fournier can drive a lot more effectively than DJ Augustine, and Kyle Lowry is a beast in the middle of the floor. Nobody's really had much success working Kyle inside. He's got that thickness to hold him up, and everyone thinks they can take him, but Kyle typically wins out. So I feel like feel like Evan Fournier goat can be more effective going inside, so I'd consider putting Kyle Lowry on him. I know there's a pretty big size disadvantage there for us because I think Evan Fournier is like 6'7 or something, but I don't know. I would at least think about that. I'd probably go with more, think about going more perimeter defenders on DJ. So like Danny Green, Norman Powell off the bench. I just feel like you just get in his face and like trap him. I think like the Raptors can manufacture some steals there, get some turnovers from the Magic. So might think about that. I don't see the Magic as being this deep team. They got Cam Birch, they got Wes Iwundu, but Amile Jefferson as well. I don't think very much of those guys. So I think playing at a quick pace and really wearing down the key guys on the Magic is how the Raptors should play. I think even though our bench has played very poorly compared to last year, I trust our depth a lot more, and with mixing and matching, I think we can be a lot more successful than just going hockey lineups, which we were doing for a significant portion of the season. Looking at the Magic by zone, they're shooting. Nikola Vucevic, he is kind of a beast inside, shooting 68.7% in the restricted area. As I mentioned, I'm not too concerned about that. I think if he stretches out, I think it could force the Raptors into other options, as I mentioned. But inside, I think Gasol and Ibaka should be fine against him. I think potentially rebounding Vucevic could win out against them. But as opposed to guarding Vucevic, I think it's fine. I think mobility is not as big an issue in the restricted area because I don't see Vucevic driving to the basket. It's more of a post up or rolling to the rim. And, you know, even though Gasol and Ibaka don't move their feet well, Gasol definitely uses his hands very well. And Ibaka, when he's making an effort, is still very effective. So not too worried about that. Vucevic is also good from the mid-range, and that was one of my concerns. He is 43.6% from that mid-range, which is better than Terrence Ross's 43.5%, which is something. And Terrence Ross shoots 0.4 more shots per game, I believe, from that zone. But it's interesting that they both shoot very similar from that area. Yeah, I don't think Terrence Ross is going to have success shooting against the Raptors. I think our perimeter and wing defenders are good. No matter who, like if it's Kawhi Leonard, it's Danny Green, or if it's even Norman Powell, I think they'll do fine guarding Terrence Ross. I'm not worried at all about that. Terrence Ross, which is interesting, shoots the majority of his threes from above the break, where he is 38.1%. You know, he's attempting 6.2 from that zone, whereas from the corners, he's attempting less than one per game. That's interesting to me. Above the break is a more difficult shot. Terrence Ross is shooting well from that area, but I guess the lack of three-point shooting for this Orlando Magic team, they put their lesser guys in the corners because those are easier shots. So trying to make things easier for their other guys, I would presume. Toronto Raptors by zone. I'll go over this quickly. Serge Ibaka from the restricted area leads the way if we disregard Jody Meeks, who is somehow shooting 87.5% from the restricted area, but Jody Meeks, small sample size, that is how. Serge Ibaka, though, from the restricted area, 73.7%. And then also from the restricted area, Pascal Siakam is 70.6%. So inside, as I mentioned, Jonathan Isaac could give Siakam some problems, presumably. As I mentioned, I don't think outside that will be issues, but still think that's overblown. I think Siakam's just so quick when he's on the move. Often when I'm watching him, I'm like, he doesn't even know which side of the basket he's going to finish on. So I don't know how the defender could know if Siakam doesn't know himself. So that's why I think he's just so hard to guard. We'll see how much success Isaac has on him, but again, I think that's going to get overblown. From the mid-range, Serge Ibaka, 49.1%. Yeah, I think he was better from the mid-range than DeMar DeRozan last year, and he is shooting well again from the mid-range this season. Marc Gasol, also shooting well from the mid-range, 49%. Kawhi Leonard's at 45.9%. It's good, too. We are looking... Yeah, there's not a lot of stats here on the left corner. Three ball, right corner. Danny Green's really good from the corners. He's really... Only attempts 0.9 from the left corner per game, but 47.1%. Attempts 1.5. From the right corner, 52.6%. Then Danny Green above the break attempts 3.1. He's at 42.2%. Which, yeah, all those numbers, I believe, are better than Terrence Ross. Marc Gasol, I was kind of skeptical of his three-point shooting coming to the Raptors because the shots he was taking on the Grizzlies was that above-the-break three. He hasn't shot from the corners. He hasn't shot from the corners with the Raptors. And with the Grizzlies, he was getting a lot of open shots. Like, his makes were open shots. That's where he was making those threes. On the Raptors, I think he's getting a lot of those same looks. And he has shot really well at 42.4%. But he's taking two attempts per game. That seems high. I don't know. I just want to double check that. That seems high from what I've seen. But I wish to confirm. Yeah, that looks right. Yep. Yeah. I guess I was just always like always making less than a three a game. That's why I didn't think it was a lot, but I will admit I was wrong on his shooting. But yeah, you can't bank on him to make more than one per game. Our best above the break shooter last year, I believe, was Fred VanVleet. I believe he was shooting like over 40%. This season he's only shooting 35.6%, but he has shot really well from the corners, doesn't take many there. And I think it's like I was saying with the Magic, you want to put your lesser guys in the corner. And I think that's why Siakam has had success shooting from three, because he's taking the corner threes. Like, you look at the ratios. Siakam's taking, yeah, around two corner threes for every above the break three he takes, roughly. Yeah. If Siakam was only shooting above the break 27%, he would not look like a good 3-point shooter. Those easier shots really help us, and the spacing that like Fred and Danny, Kawhi, and I guess Marc Gasol all bring help that. This Orlando Magic team, they've been great, I believe, since the All-Star break, and credit to them for that, but I don't think it's going to help them in the playoffs against us. I think they just don't come close to the talent level the Raptors have. Vucevic could give us some problems, but aside from him, I'm not too concerned. Over the years, I think Evan Fournier's had success against us, but with our wings this season, he is not a concern for me. Bricklayer Terrence Ross is never a concern for me. DJ Augustine, not a concern. He's fine, but fine doesn't stack up to Kyle Lowry. I think I would even say Fred VanVleet is better than DJ Augustine. I'm assuming all Raptor fans would agree with me on that. General NBA fans, I don't know, but I think VanVleet is better than DJ Augustine. The interesting thing, though, with the Orlando Magic point guard situation, they have Michael Carter Williams as a backup, and they traded for Markelle Fultz at the deadline, who I don't anticipate playing, but Markelle Fultz was not the guy they wanted at the deadline. They wanted DeLon Wright, and I think the Raptors' plan A at the deadline involved DeLon Wright headed to the Orlando Magic. I believe, from what I've seen at least, that we would have gotten those picks, or what I presume, we would have gotten those picks for the Magic that they gave up for Fultz. They would have given those picks, and we would have used those picks to get Nikola Mirotic from the Pelicans, because Mirotic was the guy we wanted at the deadline. The Bucks swooped in, got him before we could, and I think, I'm assuming the Pelicans didn't want, like, any of the salary guys who would have had to send out, like, I'm assuming they didn't want a CJ Miles' contract. That's why they took the 4 second-round picks, I believe, from the Bucks. But I think everything has worked out probably better getting Marc Gasol, because you look at Nikola Mirotic, when the Bucks traded for him, he wasn't healthy. I believe he sat out a week or two because he was injured when they got him, and he's injured now. He's going to, I believe, be missing at least the first round of the playoffs. And you think about the Magic having DeLon Wright on their team instead of Markelle Fultz, that could have changed things for them. I think DeLon Wright definitely would get minutes over Michael Carter-Williams. He could even push probably DJ Augustine for some minutes. DeLon Wright, he's had, you know, back-to-back and triple-doubles near the end of this season for the Grizzlies. I feel like that's kind of a more end result. The Grizzlies missing a lot of guys and playing without Conley than anything. But yeah, DeLon Wright, he's a decent player. And the Magic, I think, could have used another guy in the rotation like him. And I think that would have made the series more interesting. But now I think it's going to be rough for the Magic. When they start making subs, I think it's over for them. The moment I see Terrence Ross check in the game, it's like, this thing's done. It's done. I think Steve Clifford's probably a good coach. And I'm not entirely sold on Nick Nurse. I think a lot of the things we've seen from Nick Nurse this season are intuitive. I think there's nothing, you know, special he has done this season that you're like, oh, I wouldn't have thought of that, but that worked out great. There's nothing. There's literally nothing. I think he was handed this great team, and he's done, you know, okay. But I don't think he's been great. I think everything is going to come down to how the Raptors perform throughout these playoffs, where I put my opinion on Nick Nurse. I don't see how he could perform worse in the playoffs than Dwayne Casey has for the Raptors, where you have one plan A, and then when plan A blows up in your face, you got nothing else, and you just panic. I don't see how things could possibly be worse for Nick Nurse. But we'll see how the Raptors do throughout the playoffs. The Orlando Magic, I don't think we're going to sweep them. I don't think the Raptors were going to sweep anybody, like even like a bad team that didn't make the playoffs. I don't think we were going to sweep if you put them in that 7-hole. Sweeping a team is hard, and I think there's pride on that other team. There's pride on the Orlando Magic. They're not going to go down. I don't think that way. I think they're going to win at least one game, up to, I'd say, 2. I think the most this series goes is 6 games. If it goes 7, something horrible has gone wrong, I believe. I think a lot of people are going to be saying the Raptors in five, which is possible. I think that's the hope, that's the goal. But when we beat the Wizards last year in the first round, that series went six, I believe. And I never thought the Wizards, while watching that series, I never really thought they had a chance at knocking us out. So even though it went six, I stayed confident once I was watching the series and seeing Washington's issues. I don't think the East is very exciting for round one. I think the Nets could potentially give Philly some trouble, and I'm hoping they do. I'm hoping the Nets kind of knock out Philly, because I think that would make round two much easier for the Raptors, but not holding my breath on that. I think the Nets down the stretch, as the schedule got tougher, they kind of got exposed a little more. Caris LeVert has stepped it up and looked more like he has looked at the start of the season. We'll see what happens there. I think Boston is going to dominate the Pacers, even without Marcus Smart. Pacers, with Oladipo, I think they would have given the Celtics a run for their money. Potentially could have won that series, but I think it's going to be rough for Indy. I don't think they have a chance against the Celtics, despite Celtics' chemistry, locker room, whatever issues, flat earth, Kyrie issues you want to talk about with this team. I think the Celtics will get through them pretty easily. The Bucks should get through the Pistons pretty easily, especially if Blake Griffin is injured. I think the West round one could be more interesting, but I think in round two, in the East, things could be spicy, because I think Milwaukee, us, Philly, and Boston all have potentially a chance to get out of the East. I'd obviously like us, like our odds and Milwaukee's odds the best out of anyone. I put us slightly ahead of Milwaukee now because of their injuries. But if you're going Raptors versus Field, I still take the Field. I still do, I think. But if any one team in the East I had to put money on, I'd put money on the Raptors. I just think you'd be crazy not to take like three teams as opposed to one team. Like if you could combine Philly, Boston, and Milwaukee, their odds, I think they'd be definitely greater than the Raptors. But individually, I think the Raptors should have the best odds. We shall see. This has been 416 Basketball. Terrence Ross is a bricklayer.